biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. This is sort of a special conversation because we have a wonderful guest with us, Priscilla Orlip, who runs the Christian Counseling Collaborative, kind of a tongue twister. But she's joining us today for this topic that I think is be very helpful, very enlightening for you. Priscilla, thank you for joining Pastor Rock and I today.
Thank you for having me.
If just at the outset, give us a little introduction on yourself, what you do, how you got to ACAC before we jump into our topic today.
Well, I've been to ACAC, next month will be 18 years on staff. And it's been an amazing adventure for me being able to do counseling right here at the church and bringing counseling aid and help to people who are struggling with a variety of concerns. And we've moved from one person and then 1.5 people to we have about 25, 26 therapists providing therapy in the Christian Counselors Collaborative.
And it shows the need for Christian counseling.
Yes.
Not just
counseling. People come to us kind of screening out themselves because they want Christian perspective brought into their counseling.
Right. Well, today's topic I want to touch on, in if we can title it, The Art of Dying. It's something that we don't have a lot of teaching on. We don't have a lot of instruction on how to do this, how to handle it gracefully, being a part of a loved one's end days.
Yes.
And so that's what we kind of want to touch on today. And Pastor Rock, have you had much experience helping those who are assisting people?
I thought you were going to ask me if I had much experience with dying, and I was going to say, yes, I did. My heart stopped 3 times. I came about as close as you can get without having a permanent gig. So, yes, I do have some experience. Now, what was your question again?
If you had much experience with people assisting those who are on their last days of dying.
Yeah, as a pastor, I've had opportunity certainly to be with people in the last moments of their life, to stand with families as life support systems are shut off, to counsel families making that gut-wrenching decision, advising families on the care of those who are dying and facing significant choices. And then outside of being a pastor as a human being, Karen and I have walked through the death of her parents and my parents. My mom, many years ago, she died early. But then Karen's mom and dad and my father all in the space of less than 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So, and a real diversity of experience there, because my dad's passing was a glorious homecoming of a faithful disciple.
Right.
Karen's mom and dad gave no evidence of any profession of faith. And while they didn't oppose our faith, they made it clear that that wasn't for them. So dealing with them in their latter chapters was very different than being with my father. With my dad, there was nothing much to do but be there.
Right.
With them, there was more be intentional in those last opportunities to witness and hope there was response.
And there's not a whole lot of preaching opportunities of how to prepare someone, because I'm sure each situation, each death is different, each family is different.
You know, it's like the rest of life. Every death is individualized, and yet it shares many things in common with other deaths. And And believers share many things in common with unbelievers when it comes to death.
Right.
But then there are aspects that are available to believers that aren't available to unbelievers that, as Scylla would attest, make a great, great difference.
Right. And there's, Scylla, do you find there's many opportunities to help counsel those who are dealing with death? You know, where a loved one is dying, so they come to you guys and say, you know, I don't know how to deal with this.
Well, actually, that's partially why we're doing this conversation today, because even as Christians, we sure don't talk about death, and we don't talk about that process of dying, generally speaking.
Right.
You know, when people have terminal illnesses, they kind of have to face the inevitable, but a lot of times it's facing it with how long can I extend my life versus what is the way I want to die? And this starts with the passion that I have, like Pastor Rock. I've also had personal experience with an elderly aunt I took care of, as well as both of my parents, at their deathbeds. And it's amazing, you realize what you don't know. And I feel it's so important, not only the universal things that connect us all in that process of dying, because it's predictable.
Right.
All the things that happen as a body is getting ready to die, and as the soul is going to be released, if you will, there are predictable things that occur. And if you don't know, you don't know what to be looking for. On the other hand, this concerns me because as Christians, we do have just sort of the normal fear of what lies ahead. On the one hand, the process is really what scares most people. But it's also an opportunity to have a testimony, basically, in the process of your dying.
Right.
And we really don't get an opportunity to talk about that or address that with people, because most people shy away from it.
Right. Do you think this is a conversation that should be had with, let's say, older children, with their aging parents? You know, look, this is going to happen.
Yes.
You know, don't be afraid. It's okay. Because yes. I remember my grandmother at one point, my dad's mother, she had a heart attack. They called the ambulance. I'm sorry. She was sitting on her couch whenever my father got there before the ambulance. And she said, Bob, it's okay. You know, if it's my time, everything's fine. I'm okay. Take care of your father and we'll move on. But it seemed like she had such a healthy understanding of what that is, you know. And
remember, this isn't just a dynamic that you deal with among the aged near the end of life.
Right.
An old preacher, the first preacher I served under, said in regards to death, the old must, but the young may. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, the whole matter of dealing with death when it involves younger people is an even greater challenge. And the greatest being, I'm sure Scylla would attest to this, the death of children, because that's what's called the out-of-order death. Because right. In our minds, we're to go first, our children later. And we can't get our head around our children preceding us in death. So piggybacking on to something Scylla was saying, you know, years ago, a well-known book was written by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on death and dying, and she described various stages, denial, anger, etc., that people go through. And while she was not writing from a Christian perspective, yet Christians go through those same dynamics. Being a Christian doesn't change our emotional constitution. It changes the way we handle it.
Wow,
the way we govern it. So, you know, Christians feel anger. So the apostle said, be angry, yet without sin.
Right.
And Christians can feel fear. But the apostle says, you know, don't let anxiety overwhelm you. Make your requests known. But Christians need to recognize we're going to experience, where death is concerned, all the same dynamics, because right. We're all created in the image of God.
Right.
God used one template. So It's how we interpret those emotions, how we handle those dynamics, where we find answers, where we find strength, where we find grace. Those are the things that define a Christian response to death and dying versus what is many times, in my experience, a pretty secular response with a few Bible verses added on to it.
Right.
And that's what we, one of the things we want to touch on today, that we can handle death in a far better way.
In a far better way. Right. And that's the whole topic of this conversation. How can we handle it in a far better way? What understanding is there still that we can have that will assist us in that?
Well, you know, as I listen to Pastor Rock and the readings that I have done, it is an opportunity to express love. And we are so, the topic of death and facing it is so foreign to us that we often miss this opportunity for deep intimacy, actually. You know, what's more intimate than finally coming before the Lord and knowing that you're moving, you know, forward, going to face your Maker? And what's more intimate than this moment that you have with loved ones to express your love? And as a matter of fact, one of the authors that I've been reading speaks to the tasks of dying, which involve saying, I love you, I'm sorry, I forgive you, and thank you. And, you know, when you're at this point where it's this very poignant moment where, whether it's a moment or weeks, you know, prior to death, where you are, all of the things that maybe have separated you on a whole variety of levels, really, they become irrelevant when you're facing that relationship and the connection in that relationship. And so much gets forgiven, much gets expressed in love, you know, for each other. So it's a very intimate time that, if we're not familiar with intimacy, you know, really heart-to-heart kind of connection, you know, we don't get to the depth that we possibly could. And I can speak personally, although I had a good relationship with my folks, after their deaths, which was very sweet, I was blessed to be next to them, both of them, when they died, and their deaths were very peaceful. And they both, we may talk about some things, had a variety of things that expressed, you know, clearly there was a connection happening even when they weren't responsive. But I forgot where I was going. as I look back, I think, gosh, you know, I wish I would have done X, or I wish I would have done Y, or do you know? And so, again, this is an opportunity for us to be able to think about, going back to something you said earlier and that Pastor Rock said, yes, it's an opportunity for us who are maybe caretakers of elderly parents or elderly family members to say, gosh, you know, can we talk about this? You know, how do we want to do this? But it's also a time to be able to reflect on your own. You know, it's important to not sort of leave those behind you in the lurch in terms of what you desire.
Exactly. You know? I had recently had a good friend of mine who, down in the Atlanta area, he quit his job. Mm. He was been with this company 18 years. His mother's health was failing. Quit his job to be her caretaker full time. And she recently passed about 2 weeks ago. But he said, that was probably the best decision I ever made.
Yes.
And you know, he handled it very well.
Yeah.
And Pastor Rock, I'm sure you're doing a lot of funerals, dealing with a lot of people. Why do you think people come and blame God? He gets a lot of blame for things he doesn't do. Why did God, you know, give my mother cancer? Why did he let her die? Why did, you know, and it's not a great way to deal with it. You know, how do we respond to those kind
of
people?
Well, those kind of comments indicate the lack of a biblical understanding of life, of death, and of our current condition as fallen creatures in a sin-cursed world.
Right.
People who expect too much too soon, because they aren't informed by Scripture. end up constantly arguing with life and with God. Arguments that they'll never win. arguments that will not satisfy them. So many of the answers for our specific in-the-moment situations lie in the view from 30,000 feet, the view of Scripture and the panorama of human history and God's purposes. The macro view interprets the micro view. If you start with the micro, you got to end up in a ditch somewhere.
Right.
The macro view hasn't changed and doesn't change. You know, this world that we're in as it currently exists is not the world God intended, nor is it the world God created. It's the world we're left with after the fall of creation and of man. Now, God has set in place a wonderful plan that will restore both redeemed humanity and the planet to their original intent, their original design, where death will be no more.
Amen.
It will be an irrelevant topic.
Right.
It'll be a what are you talking about topic. but we're not there yet. And what Christians need to understand is there are aspects of salvation that are now and aspects that are not yet. And if you blur the line, you got to get yourself, pardon my friend, you got to get your undies in a wad. You got to get all messed up in your thinking.
Right.
And argue again with life, with people, with God. The now aspect of salvation, my soul has been lifted out of spiritual bondage, ignorance, darkness, and the power of sin, and lifted into spiritual awareness, spiritual life, the awareness of God. My eternal destiny is guaranteed, because he who has the Son has life.
Amen.
I know what awaits me on the other side, though I don't know the details of it because I haven't experienced it. But I know what awaits me in broad strokes. Those are all aspects of now. The not yet aspects are my new glorified body.
Right.
That awaits death and resurrection. Seeing God face to face, that's a not yet. Being in a world that's been restored with no more tsunamis, no more tornadoes, no more weeds, no more dying, no more death, no more crop failures, no more blights, no more pandemics, etc., etc. That's a not yet.
Right.
Knowing all things, that's a not yet. So we have to understand that God has given us some things now, some things await us. And where we get into arguments with God about death and dying, it's because we've forgotten what's now and what's not yet. We're actually acting like this life ought to go on indefinitely.
Right.
This life ought to be free of pain and aging and injury and disease. This life ought to be heavenly. No.
Right.
This is the hard one.
Right.
Generations ago, believers understood the really good one lies on the other side. We now demand it in the moment.
Right.
But God doesn't give in to our demands.
Right.
And as Tozer said, he doesn't bow to our nervous haste.
Right.
So you have to have the micro view before you can interpret before you can interpret the micro view and act in the micro,
right,
in a way that conforms to the macro.
Right, right.
Try saying that six times fast.
So, Syl, the preparation in the matter is huge.
Yes.
Preparing yourself for the inevitable, preparing yourself to face this emotionally, mentally, spiritually is what we want to talk about. And I, in talking with you about this topic, I know that there was a group or a something that you wanted to try and get going to educate folks.
Yes.
On the art of dying.
Yes. I'd like to begin a group at some point where it's a process group is kind of what I guess I would call it, because it's not just educational, if you will, but it's processing because of the topic. It's an emotional topic. It's a spiritual topic. And it's the kind of thing where hopefully folks would want to express their own concerns, their own fears, their own questions, and we'd be able to process answers. You know, ultimately, we have the choice to do whatever we want to do.
Right.
Even if it's, well, I'm not going to talk about it, you know.
Right.
But at least you're making that decision not in a void, but based on information.
Right.
Because basically, even among Christians, we just avoid facing death. We avoid planning it. And not planning it or facing it or even talking about it, you know, we may just kind of knee-jerk reaction choose to extend life at severe physical, emotional, and even financial cost, you know. And if you have information and you have had an opportunity to talk about it, to process it with family, even within yourself, because we're ultimately the ones that have to face this individually.
Right.
Then we can make better decisions, better right. choices.
And that really will cushion the end days. That really yeah. will help. I think just the talking about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like you said, I think Pastor Rock alluded, we don't know what's on the other side. We don't right. know the process of dying, even though Pastor Rock, you've come 3 times close to it, you know. But
yeah, but I didn't see anything. I didn't write any books.
Yeah.
Here's one thing, and we'll sort of be shotgun all over the place, but that's okay. You said, echoing what I said earlier, we don't know what
right.
is on the other side. And here's a key thing, I think, for believers facing death. We don't know all of what awaits us. We know in part.
Right.
But we just know a little part. we don't know all of what awaits us. But what Christians need to be mindful of is we know who awaits us.
Amen.
And if you know who awaits you, the what's aren't all that critical. If a child knows that on the other side of that door, their mom or their dad is awaiting them.
Right.
They're not concerned about what will dad be wearing. What will mom have anything with her?
Right.
You know, because they know who's waiting.
Right.
In childlike faith, we don't know what the other side looks like, but we know who's waiting for us.
Amen.
And I think if we'd focus on the who, rather than all the unanswered what's, then we could better navigate the decisions.
Right.
Because they'll be faith-based rather than fear-based. We can better navigate interpersonal dynamics because they'll be spirit-guided. All the stuff that gunks up the process starts to ebb away, and Jesus becomes central, and he clarifies.
Amen.
You know, fear muddies the waters. Jesus clears the waters. So if we focus on the who, which the Christian life is about the who before the what. It's about the relationship. The
right.
greatest commandment, love God with all your being.
Right.
Not know all my other commandments. Yes, we're to know them. The Great Commission, we're to teach others to observe them.
Right.
But the greatest is to know him. It always starts relationally, because if you don't know God relationally, you can't understand his commandments cognitively, emotionally, or any other way.
That's right.
So all of life is to be relationally focused rather than question and answer focused. So I would simply say we start preparing for death the day we're born. And if you haven't prepared relationally, when you get to death, you're not going to be able to just flick a switch and be positioned to handle it in a God-honoring way. You're probably got to be left with fear, anxiety, anger, apathy, Kubler-Ross, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Because you can't run out and get ready at the last minute.
Right.
You have to live ready.
Right.
And you have to live ready because you don't know when death's got to knock. I was sitting in this office at my desk feeling what I thought acid reflux must feel like, not knowing that, you know, within a half an hour my heart was going to stop. You can't run out and get ready in those moments.
Right.
So, you know, before we shift our focus to some of the very practical things I know Scylla wants to talk about and that we need to talk about, again, taking that macro view, live relationship, not information.
Amen.
Know the one who gives the commands, not just the commands.
Right.
Know the one who imparts the truth, just not the truth he imparted. That positions you to deal with death in a God-honoring way that removes a lot of the unnecessary emotional baggage.
Amen.
And you can't run out and do that the day they put you in hospice care.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You know, if I was sloganeering, I'd say, put yourself in Jesus' care.
Right.
And then you'll be ready for hospice care.
Amen. We got about 3 minutes, so how poignant. Know the who.
Yes.
Not the what. Do you think that would alter some of your group leading with those thoughts?
Well, that's at the essential core of a group like this, because we want the spiritual to inform the informational, if you will, using Rock's words.
Right.
The macro to inform the micro. And that if people are focused on the spiritual aspect to it, then they can make more informed decisions at the micro level, which, again, we abdicate so much to medicine and to the doctors. And to be frank, in the readings that I've done, the doctors have a very hard time being honest with patients because they don't want to be the ones to say, gosh, you've got 3 months to live. But if we're hanging on the edge waiting for the doctor to tell us what to do, we're not attending to the spiritual aspect at the core of our passage, the bridge from this world into, you know,
right,
the next.
Right. That's another whole interesting topic. Being the one being told we have a certain amount of time.
Yes.
You know, and like Pastor Rock said, you can't all of a sudden now I'm going to be super spiritual and I'm going to know God in three easy steps, three easy months. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So that's even another great conversation. Mm-hmm. If we receive that information, you know, how do we navigate that successfully?
Yes.
And spiritually and God honoring in the same way.
Yes.
So another topic I'd love to get is these people that see the light at the end of the tunnel. What is that all about? You know, is that really?
Let me say real quickly, they need to read the verse that says, and even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Wow.
Just because you see a being of light, it doesn't mean it's Jesus saying, welcome home, even though you've been an atheist, even though you shun me.
Right.
The people who say they saw a being of light all came back and wrote about it. They didn't stay on the other side long enough to find out who the being of light
exactly
was.
Exactly right.
So that's about as much good as a rubber crutch. I saw a being of light, so God's there to welcome us all. Wrong.
Yeah, an interesting topic. But you also put in an email, and I want to quickly go through this, that you were walking through a loved one's hill and she saw an angel the last year of her life. My grandmother had the exact same thing.
Is that right?
You know, and I would love to understand what that's about. I mean, because she said, my angel's with me. And
yes.
Periodically and more towards her last days, that she saw this angel a number of times,
yeah.
You know, was with her.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it was dear. It was very sweet. My mother, she was in hospice for 3 years, and with congestive heart failure. And a little less than a year before she died, she shared with me that she said, "Do you sometimes see this lady, you know, kind of hanging by the ceiling?" And after she talked to a little bit about it, I think she was a little reticent to tell me about it. And I finally said, "Mom, do you think it's an angel?" And she said, "Yes, I think it is." Well, so she had this angel that was present pretty much all of the time. And my mother almost passed away twice before she finally passed away. And on the second time, she was lying in her bed. She had been really all the signs of imminent death. She was respiring about 4 or 5 times a minute, etc. And she, at one point, sort of motioned with her hand to somebody I couldn't see, you know, from her bedroom. And I said, "Mom, is somebody there?" And she said, "Don't you see him?" And I said, "No, I don't." She said, I said, "Is it another angel?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "But it's a man." And I said, "So do you have both of your angels here?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Mom, are they saying anything to you?" And she said, "No, they're here to guide me. But I don't want to go. I love my family too much." And the next morning, she was totally back to normal. So, you know, there, I can't explain it, but there was this presence there that she felt great comfort. She felt, you know, and she was a very strong Christian. Both of my parents were. And it was just very dear that there was this thing going on with her. And some would say, okay, hallucinations. I'm not ready to go there,
right.
You know. So.
And not to deliberate or make a whole nother topic, but ending on this, that's the angel's job, isn't it?
Well, they're ministering spirits.
Right.
And God has tasked them with ministering to his saints. When it comes to angelology, which is the theological term for the study of angels, there's not a whole lot of material. And we do know that we sometimes entertain them unawares, and that many times in unseen ways they're protecting, other times they're reassuring and comforting. But the particulars of the ministry of angels is above my pay grade. And we don't fully understand it, but we acknowledge it.
Right. Well, you know, working in the same office as your wife, she's often referred to you as her angel.
I'd be more inclined to believe she was asking people to join her in binding and loosing.
Well, Sil Rock, thank you for your time today. This time always flies. Very enlightening. Maybe we'll visit this again and let you know if Sil does get that group working and meeting together. I think it'd be very beneficial. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you.